And okay, we've got that underway. And I want to welcome everybody today, and to let you know that we've got we're continuing the process of visiting with a number of speakers that are presenting at the Freedom Law School's 2010 Take Back America Health and Freedom Conference, being held in Southern California, March 12th through 15th, which is just around the corner. It's not too much more than 2 weeks from now, which is surprising. We've come right up on it. It's being held at the Ontario Hilton Hotel. And the exciting thing about this conference is not only the lineup and the vendors and the folks attending, but the information you can connect with and the associations you can make there. But this conference is being offered to everyone at no charge. Donations are encouraged and very welcome, but not absolutely necessary. We'd rather people to be able to attend, even if they're hit by this economy and they have financial considerations. For information on that conference or to register for it, go to freedomlawconference.com. That's freedomlawconference.com. And with that, I want to introduce Mark McAfee, and he's got an incredible bio here. I mean, I'm not going to attempt to share it all with you, but I'll just preface what I'm going to say here with saying that it, you know, for more information on him, go to organicpastures.com. That's organicpastures.com. In 2000, Mark McAfee founded Organic Pastures Dairy Company, which is OPDC. OPDC was the first organic dairy in Fresno County, and they were the first grade A organic dairy in the USA to use the McAfee pioneered concept of decentralized milking, a mobile grade A milk barn. The dairy is a pasture-based, fully integrated organic farm with a closed nitrogen loop. In other words, there are no confined animals, no lagoons, and no concrete milking stalls, just clean and green pastures. And it's the largest raw dairy in the world. And there's so much information. Obviously, he's well-established. He's been in operation now for a decade, doing some really good work. And I want to welcome him now to the webinar. Hello, Mark. How are you doing today?
Earl, thank you for inviting me. It's indeed my pleasure to be able to speak to people and share what information I have, which is a small part of a much bigger movement of people, not only about freedom, but also seizing back the elements which define health in this country, which is about whole and processed foods, which we've been so terribly separated from because the food chain is so terribly long and broken.
Yes, well, I have some questions for you, but you know what might be really interesting is maybe to just flash back a little bit and come into how you got into these issues, maybe a little bit about your background and then how you came to be involved like you are. That might be an interesting story for people to know.
Oh, well, great. My first job out of high school was a commercial welder. I was in a mine, and I watched a guy almost get killed, and I saw paramedics come in and save his life in a helicopter. And I thought, you know, I want to be one of those paramedics. That's pretty cool stuff. So I went off to college and got my pre-meds taken care of, and I went through a paramedic training course, which took me about a year and a half, and I graduated valedictorian of the paramedic course, and I went on to become a certified paramedic at 21 years old. And I worked for 16 years as a paramedic, ran about 15,000 paramedic calls, and did about everything a paramedic could do. I was a recruiter, I was a director of operations, I was on the helicopter program, was a pilot for a while, I was a medical educator, I was an evaluator, I worked for the health department. It was a full career. But in 1996, I retired from that, and I'd had enough of EMS, and my wife and I decided to take over the family farming operations and raise our two young children. So my wife's an RN and labor and delivery nurse, and I'm now a retired paramedic. We took our 650 acres of family farms and converted them all to organic. I very intentionally decided not to be like the other farmers. They were having so many hardships in the commodity markets. I decided we were going to be branded. We were going to be completely connected to our consumers as best we could. We were not going to be export. We were going to be local. We were going to be organic certified, not using any pesticides or anything unnatural. And we were going to be diversified and vertically integrated. So that meant we're going to own all the means of production, and we're going to be completely connected to our consumers, and we're going to be local, and we were going to go forward. And when we did that, we actually reinvented our farming operation to be all organic, grass-based, and that grew into Organic Pastures Dairy by 1999. And we put up a website. And actually, initially, we're selling our milk off to be sort of organically processed with Organic Valley, the national brand Organic Valley, and it was actually ultra high temperature pasteurized. But literally within 6 to 8 weeks of us starting our operations here, we established a website saying, "Hey, look at these beautiful cows on green grass pastures. You know, the cows that are seldom seen but often talked about on the Got Milk commercials are actually here at Organic Pastures Dairy, and they're happy. They're on green pastures." And we had this mobile milk barn. Well, when that happened, we had movie stars in L.A. calling up. Daryl Hannah was one of them. Martin Sheen, his wife Janet Sheen, you know, Emilio Estevez, you know, the people in L.A. who had been missing the Altadena raw milk called us and said, "Hey, listen, we want your raw milk down here in L.A. Can you bring us some?" And some came up here and got it in their own cars, and we went down to L.A. And that just started a whole movement. We couldn't keep it in stock. The Whole Foods stores said, "Hey, how fast can you drive it down here? We need it now." And we established a little dairy, creamery, and distribution with our own trucks. And we have to meet and exceed pasteurized milk standards without pasteurizing. And so, you know, it's very clean milk. But we're able to achieve that because our cows are on pasture, not in big piles of manure, being fed a bunch of GMO grain and antibiotics and hormones and everything else that mankind has done to cows in the last 60 to 70 years. By putting cows in bright sunlight and green pastures, the bacteria in and outside of the cows, in the cow's gut and actually in the pastures, are the beneficial bacteria missing in the American diet, missing in our colon, in our gut. And lo and behold, we now have literally come upon a wonderful nutritional food, raw, organic, fresh, organic milk, which is a medical cure for all kinds of ailments that are related to gut physiology and immune system problems. So I've kind of morphed into a leader, so to speak, of the kind of the free world of raw milk. And wherever you see raw milk produced, you find kind of a microeconomic boom. You see the farmers doing well because they're getting so much more for their milk. There's responsibility back at the production of the milk. You can't just, you know, violate Mother Nature's rules. You have to cooperate with Mother Nature. And then on top of that, you get happy, well-nourished consumers that don't have lactose intolerance anymore, because raw milk does not cause lactose intolerance, where pasteurized milk does. And so it goes on and on and on. We have local doctors now that prescribe raw milk because it prevents ear infections. And remember, raw milk and breast milk are the same thing. So kids go from being nursed on their mom's breast to going on to Organic Pastures Dairy products and raw milk, and they thrive. They don't get ear infections. They don't get asthma, allergies, eczema, irritable bowel syndrome. You know, and the story is just goes on and on. So now we've got movies being produced about what we're doing here. Farmageddon is one coming out this spring featuring Organic Pastures Dairy and the doctors that prescribe our milk. And what's happening is there's this huge disruption of the FDA mantra and dogma that only drugs cure disease. And now we're opening up this huge can of organic worms that literally food is the basis of healing and curing, and drugs are the most toxic things on the face of the earth. And we're killing people left and right. In fact, it was announced last week, congressional hearings, Avandia, the diabetic medication, has killed 304 people in the last 90 to 120 days. And over 80,000 people have experienced heart attacks in the last 7 years, and a bunch of more deaths there. So the FDA is very, very corrupt and very protective of their alliances with the big dairy industry during the pasteurized, you know, the pasteurized milk ordinance alliances, and then also the drug associations and drug agencies and drug pharmaceutical companies. So the FDA absolutely hates raw milk. But raw milk is a state-by-state, individual standards kind of thing. So we're really in a big battle right now because we can't take raw milk across state lines. We can only sell it to the 400 stores and the 50,000 people a week or so that drink it in California. But we can't take it across state lines. So there's a big blowout right now with the FDA and their drug companies that they support so well, and food. And that's kind of where we stand right now, is kind of a beginning, opening picture of where we stand today at Organic Pastures Dairy, Earl.
Okay, and you so the thing is, so it can be hard to get our raw milk in some places at times, and I wonder, well, how are the best ways to get hold of raw milk?
Well, in California, you just go to organicpastures.com and plug in your zip code, and the 10 closest stores to your home pops up on a zip code tracing basis through the MapQuest. So in California, it's not too hard to find. If you want it, you can get it. It's 400 stores all the way from the Oregon border to San Diego and in Mexico border, all the way from Tahoe to San Francisco. It's all over the place. But in other states of the union, it can be very, very hard. In Wyoming, I was back there as an expert witness 2 weeks ago, and they're moving a law through a bill through the legislature that's going to allow raw milk to be produced and sold locally in Wyoming. But currently, the consumers in Wyoming have to drive 5 hours down to Colorado to get milk from a cow share program. So that just kind of gives you an inkling of one of the states that has a forbidden raw milk sales law. There are six states in the United States that allow the sale of raw milk. That's California, Washington, Connecticut, Maine, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. The rest of the states, you either have to buy it on the farm or it's illegal. It's about half and half the rest of the states. So the reason raw milk is suppressed right now is because big dairy industry can't make raw milk. It has a short shelf life of 7 to 10 days. It's got to be kept cold. It can only come from one individual farmer who takes very personal responsibility for the safety of the milk. You can't cheat Mother Nature with antibiotics or a bunch of grain or no pasture. You have to work with Mother Nature. And these are things that are absolutely stand in opposition to the big mega dairy with a CAFO and the confinement facilities that have all these manure and 10,000 cows in one spot. And as a result, there's a tremendous amount of jealousy that runs through this. And it's a big fight because this is about consumers and farmers connecting back together. It's about shortening the food chain and about farmers being fully paid and consumers being fully nourished and no being cheated. Because the dairy industry right now and the distribution processing plants cheat the consumers out of their nutrition, and they get the partial food that's pasteurized, homogenized, and standardized, and it cheats the farmer out of being fully paid. So this whole new paradigm of raw milk that's fresh and natural and wonderful, it has a healthy short food chain associated with it.
Well, you know, it seems like there's some confusion about there being two different types of raw milks, and I'm wondering if you could clarify that a little bit for us.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Well, going back 150 years ago, and you go back to the mid-1800s, raw milk had a very checkered history. I mean, 50% of the people that drank raw milk from the downtown brewery dairies, the distillery rum-making dairy, the dairies were associated and connected right next to a rum distillery. And those cows never saw the light of day, and there was horrendous outbreaks of brucellosis and TB and typhoid, and they didn't have a good water system, and there were no flushing toilets, and the guys that milked the cows were milking them by hand. That was the told story of milk. That was the story in the 1800s where milk killed 50% of people that drank it. It was horrendous. But the untold story of milk was the milk, 40 miles out of town where the Amishmen had the green grass pastures running around in Pennsylvania. That milk was going to the Mayo Clinic to heal everybody. So you got commercialized milk and you got the people's milk, and that story runs through to today. The commercialized milk needed to be pasteurized. It was filthy. It was killing people left and right. The milk that comes out of these factory farms today is filthy and needs to be pasteurized because you've got the wrong kind of bugs and the wrong kind of feeding going on, the wrong kind of pH in the cow's gut, the wrong kind of bacteria coming out of the cows in the fecal samples, and it's getting in the milk. So you got milk for people, comes from grass-fed, organic, natural systems, and that milk's got an impeccable history of no deaths at all on the CDC website, no deaths at all associated with raw milk, associated with organic, grass-fed, intended for human consumption. There's not one record of death in the entire history of the CDC website where they collect that data. However, the CDC has a tremendous number of deaths from pasteurized milk going back, even with proper pasteurization. The last deaths from milk were pasteurized milk products in Massachusetts in 2007. Three people died from listeria. So the bottom line is we have a real disconnect between the milk that's intended for people and the milk that's intended for pasteurization, and that disconnect is intentional because the pasteurized milk ordinance, the National Conference on Interstate Milk Shipments, the NCIMS, and the FDA want to keep the issue clouded so people are fearful. They're rats jumping off the same cliff right into the pasteurized milk paradigm. They don't want to have their processors and their handlers have a leakage around their system. They want to have everybody drinking pasteurized milk like a bunch of rats, and not be liberated with the information that they have, that they can have an enzyme-rich, biodiverse, extremely immune system-building, wonderful, fresh, delicious, local raw milk that's very, very safe. And that's just, it's a clash. It's a clash of the grassroots against the titans of industry in corporate America.
Well, you know, they've got incredible there's incredible money involved, and of course, heavy lobbying and just a lot of power that they wield. So it is, yeah, it's really, it's no surprise that these types of things happen. It really isn't. I know Congressman Ron Paul has been very strong in supporting raw milk, the folks that provide raw milk. And I think it was in, I don't know if it was in Pennsylvania or wherever, but somewhere there was a thing that happened, and it made the news a little bit, but it was about arresting some, I think there were some Amish that were they're providing raw milk, and there was just such a big stink, like they were horrible criminals, you know, going to kill people. And it's just, it was appalled me. I just couldn't stand
it. You have to remember, Earl, that in Pennsylvania, raw milk, there's 125 dairies that have a permit to sell legal raw milk. And the Amishmen do a heck of a job. I've learned a lot of what we do here at Organic Pastures Dairy from the Amishmen. I've spent a lot of time back there over the last 10 years and have many dear friends. And my wife and I have spent wonderful time with them and their families, and we've learned so much from them. They're the true America. They're the true America as far as the heart and soul, the ethical, moral America that, you know, it's back 100 years a little bit. But I'll tell you what, they really represent the best of what we have here in America going back to the grassroots. Bottom line is, those people are suppressed like crazy, even though what they do is legal. And people come to their dairies, buy the milk, take it in their ice chest across state lines. Then the FDA goes after them because the CFR 1240.61 forbids the interstate commerce of raw milk. And they treat them like criminals. So what they do is they go back to the dairyman to suppress the dairyman and don't really go after the distributor much because they want to kill the dairy industry. They want to kill the source. They want to cut the head off the snake, so to speak. And that's what that story was about a couple weeks ago. And I actually got a phone call from the gal who was helping distribute that milk saying, what do we do? What do we do? And, of course, the truck stayed inside the state and didn't go across state lines. And when the FDA was pulled over by the state police in Pennsylvania for harassing this truck driver because he called the state police on him, they opened the back of the truck and all the milk was gone because he delivered inside the state of Pennsylvania, and there were lots of pictures taken, and he got the last word and the last laugh, and the FDA got kind of in trouble with the state police because raw milk is legal in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you work with very humane treatment of animals in what you do, and that's important to a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
And it's a really good thing to do.
We have a certification by Animal Welfare Approved, the only dairy in California that has that approval, and we're very proud to have that. It's a they don't take any money. It's a philanthropic organization that has extremely high standards, and we have those labels on all of our products, and our cows spend their lives on forever green and clean pastures where they should be. That's where Mother Nature created the animal, which is four stomachs so they could eat grass. We have a hard time eating grass because we have one. Four stomachs required in chewing the cud, because you have such a tough fermentation process to break down the lignans and organic material that's in grass that they're the great solar converter. They convert sunshine and grass into food we can eat, the beef, milk, butter, cheese, and cream, and things that we can enjoy and that the human body's been engineered to eat.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I know that you've said is the FDA is connected to dead foods, and I like that expression, and maybe you could elucidate a little bit more for the listeners.
Well, it's not only dead foods. It's the whole idea that dead foods are right for the human body. Dead foods are horrible for the human body. Our bodies are made up of, if you think about it, you look at the Human Genome Project, you look at the National Institutes of Health, you look at Princeton University, Dr. Bonnie Basler's work. These are the best scientists in the world. And they're telling us that if you count all the cells in the body, that about 90 to 95% of the cells in the body aren't even human. They're bacterial. They're viral. They're other than human DNA. That's why the Human Genome Project was such a disastrous failure, is they couldn't actually find the human DNA in the human body. They could only find enough human DNA to make a gnat fly, they said. And that to complete the human genome, you have to incorporate and symbiotically have bacteria working with the human cells in order for us to function properly. So this is the best scientists we have now. And this message is not being clearly shown to everyone because it runs completely adverse to the idea that everything's got to be dead. Now, in America, if you realize that 80% of the human immune system is the biologic diversity in your gut, that's where the gut bacteria makes the enzymes to digest our food. That's where you have protective barrier against disease process. That's why people that drink raw milk with its biodiversity of literally 100 different kinds of bacteria literally never get sick. I mean, it's very, very seldom they get a cold or flu because they're already immune to a diversity of protective bacteria. Well, the dead food connection is this. The FDA has this germ theory idea that basically is so wrong, it's bent, it's just busted, where it's bacteria that invade us to make us sick. Well, the news is this. We're already invaded completely. We're overrun with bacteria. The question is, are they good bacteria or are they bad bacteria, and what's the balance between them? That's the question not being asked. So in America, when we take antibiotics to kill everything because we're sick, that kills off our biodiversity and we get sicker. The sterile foods that the FDA likes so much, the irradiated, chlorine-dipped, standardized, pasteurized, homogenized foods that we eat, are devoid of bacteria. In fact, the bad ones like to survive through that process, and they make us sick. They come in and they see our bodies going, wow, welcome, Matt. There's no good bacteria around here. I think I'll just take the place over, and we do get sick. So the FDA is completely, completely on a detour to hell when it comes to our immune systems and getting us healthy. And it's a sick paradigm. It's really sad. But it's supported by the medical industry. 18% of our gross national product is the fact that people have to go to the doctor all the time. It's the medical industry. And it's a sick food paradigm versus a health food paradigm that's going on. And, you know, if America became healthy, 18% of our GMP would fail because you wouldn't have anybody going to the doctor anymore. So it's just a consortium of sick food-loving or sick sickness-loving greedy corporations that the grassroots, the organic farmers, the raw milk producers, the moms that feed their healthy families are saying, enough of that. We're not going to jump over that rat cliff that the FDA has put in our path. We're going to reconnect back to farmers and heal ourselves through natural whole foods, which has been literally the rule of mankind forever until the last 60 or 70 years, where the FDA has sought complete control and choked the life out of any kind of connection between a whole food and health and nutrition. Now the FDA says only food, drugs cure disease, and you can make no claims about a food being associated with health or prevention. And that's just causing rampant death. I mean, you look at Avandia, the drug, you know, 300 deaths in the last 90 days. That's a drug approved to be safe by the FDA. So I get a little bit passionate about this because I know that the feedback from our consumers is so clear, so wonderfully passionate about how their children are so healthy because they drink raw milk and have a biodiversity of good bacteria and all the enzymes and other whole foods in their diet. So I'm an on-fire kind of guy, and the fire comes from my consumers.
I can tell, and, you know, it's interesting because it, just like those facts you just stated a minute ago, like Avandia and all that, you think something like that would be big news, but we know that the danger of or the threat or the possibility of someone pulling a huge contract out from under any of these media folks and not advertising them anymore, whether it's a drug company or whether it's this, that, or the other, these large corporations, they can literally pretty much write their own story as far as what's permissible to be reported and what's not. Because,
right.
If a phone call is made and a contract's going to be pulled, unless somebody backs down on something, they're probably going to back down because we're talking about millions upon millions of dollars that either goes to these media or that do not go to them according to how they report or do not report.
Well, that's so correct. And, you know, in Canada and the European Union, it is illegal to advertise drugs to consumers, that they have only medications are educated through physicians. And they have an incentive in those other countries because they do have a public health care program that basically says we can't afford to have everybody sick here. We have to prevent disease instead of treating and intervening after you're sick. In the United States, we have a health care system which is in an industry that encourages illness because you need to have a lot of people lined up at a doctor's office for that 18% of the GMP to work. And as a result, you get this pharmaceutical drug pushing on the evening advertisements with these fancy little daisies, and you got to have this drug now, and you don't even know what it's for.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I knew that you've mentioned before that so many disease processes can be prevented by raw milk, and I'm just wondering if maybe there's some studies that show that, that bear that out?
Well, Earl, absolutely. The Parsifal study in Europe with 14,950 kids were studied over a four-year period showed conclusively there was an 87% decrease in asthma, eczema, and allergies from kids that drank farm milk. And this is a well-studied European study, and it was also confirmed by another study. That's just on asthma, allergies, and eczema. It only makes sense. I mean, kids that drink from their mother's breast, that's raw milk, and they thrive. They rarely have those problems. So continuing on the kid's development of its immune system through drinking raw milk totally makes sense, and it works so well. Other studies, there's studies been done on probiotics, the probiotics found in raw milk, the biodiversity of foods, breast milk studies. Even a study done here in California at UC Davis by Dr. Bruce German at the Milk Genome Study, which is fascinating because it was funded by Got Milk, the people that process milk. They don't even publicize it because his study was basically saying, wait a minute, guys, you're processing the milk too much, and now all the good stuff is dead. That was his result after millions of dollars and several years of studies at UC Davis here in California from a doctor hired by Got Milk to figure out how they could sell more raw milk or sell more pasteurized milk. So my advice to the dairymen is, hey, wait a minute, stop processing your milk so much. Let's make a joint venture between raw milk dairymen that can get rid of your lactose intolerance in your gut because we put the enzymes and the good bacteria back in your gut that make the enzymes, and that way you can sell your pasteurized ice cream because you know, you're losing market share to soy milk, which is a horrendously horrible product. But the dairy industry doesn't care about soy milk because the processors love the throughput. They put the soy milk in the bottle instead of dairy milk in the bottle. Only 14% of the milk in California is actually made into fluid milk to be drank. The rest of it's sold into dried powdered milk, and some of that is dumped by the USDA as just a donation, as kind of a disposal system to get rid of the excess milk because there's such a disconnect between the farmers that don't know any consumers, and they're not ever ask the questions about why does this product cause me lactose intolerance? And they don't have to answer that hard question because it's overly processed.
Wow. Okay,
yeah.
That's really something. I'll tell you, you've got really got some information. I do have some questions that have come over the Internet. If that would be appropriate right now, we can maybe move into some
I'd
of those.
It. That'd be great. It'd be wonderful.
Okay. We've got Frank in Long Beach. He asked, has Organic Pastures Dairy Company been compensated for the rogue and tyrannical attempt to make your company a culprit of the E. coli witch hunt? And thank you for a great product and doing your part in resisting an ever-burgeoning and encroaching out-of-control government.
All I got to say is thank you for the email. It's wonderful. We have not been compensated at all for the E. coli threat that we were given a couple years ago. We were given an $11,000 check for the false recall, but the losses were about $120,000 to $130,000. So we got a little tiny check from the state. It was basically compensation for the milk we could pick up. And we got to remember, when that E. coli thing happened, I was in the middle of the E. coli spinach crisis, and the two kids that were sickened pretty well. They fully recovered, but the bottom line is they didn't have matching pathogens. One had E. coli and one did not. And they never found E. coli in any of our products, in any of our cow's manure, in any of our samples anywhere. And when the state realized that they didn't have matching pathogens, they had us sign a release agreement that said we wouldn't sue them for the false recall, and they gave us an $11,000 check to pay for our milk that they could get back. But it was a conventional milk prices, not raw milk prices. So we did suffer from that. But the bottom line is you got to live and go forward.
Yes. Well, we've got Bob in Phoenix. He says, is casein in milk and is the same ingredient used in glue having problem locking in on live show? You know what? If you're having trouble with that, Bob, what you want to do is hit refresh on your page and see if that helps. If you need to do it two or three times, that might help. How about that question? Is casein in milk the same ingredient used in glue?
Yes and no. Casein is a base for glue. That's correct. However, when you take milk and you highly process it with lots of heat and pressure and you do all kinds of funky things to it, the casein is no longer accompanied with the enzymes that help digest the casein. The enzymes are killed off by the temperature and pasteurizing. That's one of the reasons why people have such a hard time digesting pasteurized milk, and you have anywhere between 25 and 50% of the population that chooses not to drink pasteurized milk because it causes such digestive problems. When you drink pasteurized milk, you're eating a partial food. It's missing all of its God-given bacteria, enzymes, raw fats, and other wonderful proteins. They're all changed. They're all modified. They're all completely damaged. And there's great studies on this, the Lancet, the JAMA, all kinds of peer-reviewed articles on this that go back many years that talk about the fact that the pasteurized milk is missing all the other stuff that's in it when it comes out of the cow. Well, our bodies are smart enough as humans to realize that I need the rest of the stuff in milk or else I can't process it properly in my gut. And as a result, the lactose sugar sits down in the stomach, or in the intestines, I should say, And it just swelters there. It's a long shelf life because it's dead, and it does the same thing in your gut. It's a long shelf life product. There's no enzymes to help digest the lactose sugar, and as a result, you get gas cramps, diarrhea, and all kinds of problems with pain. Where raw milk doesn't give you that problem because you have the digestive enzymes, the lactase enzymes, you have the bacteria that create those enzymes that recolonize the gut, and your body functions properly. Our bodies have a heck of a hard time with sterilized foods and partial foods, and raw milk is a whole food, and it's very much alive.
Okay. Frank in Long Beach asks, according to the book entitled The Politics of Healing, 65% of FDA employees upon retirement become gainfully employed by the pharmaceutical companies, obviously a major conflict of interest. Once people understand this, they begin to see what is truly wrong with the overall picture. Question, what real purpose does the FDA currently serve other than colluding with Big Pharma for mutual interest?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Question, right?
I don't mean to be overly inflammatory when I say this, but it is literally 2010 corporate fascism, no question.
Yes.
And it's startling to think of it that way, but it's literally that way. When you think about thousands and thousands of deaths per year excused by the FDA and no big deal versus the health brought by food and organic farmers that they won't even have a hearing or allow you to submit information about, and they treat you like some kind of a bioterrorist. We have a criminal activity going on at the highest parts of our government that support Monsanto and GlaxoSmithKline and Bayer, and the university systems are in on it too because they need the grant money in order to do the research that keeps them alive. And nobody's got money to support industries like organic raw milk or vegetables or the blueberry guys or the cherry growers and their acerola. It's just a crime that we are not investing in food as healing. Like Hippocrates said 2,400 years ago, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And he also said, do no harm as the Hippocratic Oath. Well, I tell you what, the Hippocratic Oath has been violated every minute of the day by the doctors who are doing harm by pushing drugs, number one. And number two, we don't let food be our medicine and medicine be our food. We don't. We are literally rats jumping off a cliff, and there are some of us that are becoming conscious. The consumers that get it are saying no more to that and are using our First Amendment rights, what's left of them anyway, to protect ourselves and keep our families healthy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to remind everybody we're speaking with Mark McAfee of Organic Pastures Dairy Company and learning some very interesting things about raw milk and related areas. And for anyone who wants to join in the conversation, if you're on the phone bridge line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and that way we can unmute your line briefly for you to be able to ask your question. If you are on the Internet and listening that way, type your question into that small question box and submit it, and we'll make sure it gets asked. Darlene in Albany, New York, thank you for taking the lead. We need raw milk everywhere for people who want it. I am tired of being dictated to by the FDA. Will you help us kick this up a level so we can get raw milk without a huge hassle?
I would love to say something, and I'll break some news to you. Not a lot of people know about this, but this is something you can tell your magazine people here on the conference. Last week, Friday, Gary Cox of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund filed suit. And Gary Cox is a wonderful attorney. He's an ex-EPA attorney for the government who's now comes to work for the raw milk people now. I know Gary very well. He's a great guy. He's filed suit against the FDA on the behalf of people just like Darlene, I think her name was, in New York, to allow raw milk to be shipped across state lines. Currently, raw milk is not allowed to be shipped across state lines. It's criminal activity. And as a result, citizens have a very difficult time finding access to good, safe raw milk. But this is going to blow up the whole issue and make it a public issue and make the FDA come to the table and be deposed and be sworn in and take the oath to swear the truth. They can no longer perjure themselves. They will not have the evidence to support what their arguments are. They will have to acknowledge there's two raw milks in America, one for people, one for the pasteurizer. They'll have to acknowledge standards. They'll have to acknowledge people's rights. And the citizens will have a real place to kick their butt. And this is exciting because the next 24 months, the FDA will have to be brought to the courts to answer for their crimes. And it's going to get ugly before it gets better, but it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful birth when this hell happens.
Well, that's what it takes. You know, it's time. And I see, I don't know if you see this, Mark, or not, but I see it all over America for the last, really the last 2 years, but particularly the last year, year and a half. I've never seen the rate of people waking up, standing up, speaking out, getting involved in all sorts of issues related to their freedom of choice in every area, whether it's on the political scene or it's in health or whatever it may be. People are just saying, my gosh, there's something going on here. I'm starting to realize a lot more than I ever did before, and I'm a little upset, and I'm going to do something about it. Are you seeing that?
You're right, and I tell you, the great catalyst has been the internet, because we're able to connect to one another without the jeopardy of actually physically getting in one location. Like, we used to have rallies to get together, and you know, in a rally, they bring in the riot police and bust our heads, or they mace us, or put us in jail. On the internet, they can't do that, and that's a beautiful way to democratize and to allow our freedom of speech to, you know, be blogged and talk to our fellow citizens. And even this webinar just 10 years ago wasn't even possible. So we are becoming a truly much more democratic nation where the truth is being exposed. We're no longer subject to a rat experiment that the FDA is capitalizing and corporate America is capitalizing. 65% of the retirees in the FDA go get big paychecks from corporate America. So it's going to change the way America rolls, and it's an exciting new time.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree with you.
Okay. Dorley Wick in Centennial, Colorado. Is raw milk also contraindicated during a cold? I buy raw milk but wonder about drinking it during a cold. Thanks for your activism in the 1970s in Switzerland. I still went to the milk store with the metal pail to buy raw milk fresh from the cows.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. The quickest way to kick a cold is to drink raw colostrum from a cow. The antibodies, the transfer factor, glycoproteins, the good raw fats, all the amino acids, fatty acids, all the wonderful things that are found in colostrum, raw milk colostrum, is a powerful immune system. And I know people that have a cold in the morning, by evening, they don't have a cold anymore. It's that fast, and that's raw colostrum from cows. Raw milk, I don't think it's quite as effective as raw colostrum, which is the first milk from a cow right after giving birth to a calf. But I do know that if you're drinking raw milk on a regular basis, you know, every day a cup of raw milk, or even several times a week you do it, that your odds of getting a cold are just literally reduced to, we're talking fractions of a percent. I haven't had a cold in 10 years. I don't know what a cold is anymore. My wife used to have horrible allergies, no longer. And this is a common thing we see with kids and older people. It just boosts your immune system so that you're already able to deal with viruses. You're able to deal with bacteria, and they don't have a welcome mat anymore. And that goes directly to the science of the quorum sensing theory that Dr. Bonnie Basler has at Princeton University. There has to be a number of bacteria that get together and work together. They have to vote in order for them to be able to do something. You have to get a threshold established in your body. Well, if you have a body that's just filled with beneficial bacteria that will not allow the duplication or the minority, smaller groups of bacteria, the bad ones, to grow or get bigger because their body's dominated by the good bacteria, you won't get sick.
Excuse me.
And that's you know, that's science that Dr. Bonnie Basler at Princeton University's got all over the internet now with the quorum sensing theory. So these are the most emerging types of scientific theories that go directly to why biodiversity works so well to boost the immune system.
You know, so many people talk about, I'm lactose intolerant, and I have allergies. If I drink milk, I'm going to have, you know, mucus, and I'm going to have allergies,
right,
and
right,
all this stuff is going to happen. And you're finding out with the raw milk, people are shocked because they go, I don't have any problem with milk. I'm doing great. In fact, I'm healthier than ever.
Right. Well, let's look at this. There's lactose intolerance, and then there's also mucus production. Two different issues completely. If you think about lactose intolerance, it's the lack of the enzyme lactase in the gut. And the way that lactase is produced is by the beneficial bacteria that reside in the colonies along the edge of the villi, which occupy, you know, they're basically the structures inside of the intestinal lining, which are part of the digestive absorption process and also homes for good beneficial bacteria that make digestive enzymes. Well, you know, so much of America just doesn't have those homes left. The Crohn's disease has destroyed them. Celiac disease, irritable bowel syndrome really destroys those villi homes. And the colonies are missing or they're much reduced. And as a result, you can't make the lactase enzyme, and the sugars can't be the lactose sugar can't be digested, and therefore you have this diarrhea, gas, cramp from the lactose just getting in there and fermenting and causing a bunch of gas without the digestive bacteria that actually breaks it down. So that's lactose intolerance, and very few, if anybody, ever has a problem with raw milk with lactose intolerance. The mucus is a whole different issue. If you have 50 dairies or 75 dairies all being commingled together in one big creamery milk tank, the bacteria counts are very, very high. They get transported. The milk gets transported by truck. The quality assurance standards are very loose. And at no time during the production of milk from the cow to the consumer is the milk ever tested for bad bacteria. They rely solely on pasteurization to kill bacteria, which they don't. The pasteurization process is less than perfect in terms of killing pathogenic bacteria, and you see lots of outbreaks of people that get sick from pathogens that get through the pasteurizer, they become heat resistant. But the bottom line is that bacteria has a very high load, maybe 200,000 or 300,000 bacteria per milliliter, when our raw milk has 2,500. Well, that bacteria in the milk, that commingled conventional industrial milk, the dirty milk, goes through a pasteurizer. The pasteurizer does not remove that bacteria. It just kills it in place. So what you get is lysed bacteria cells, broken open bacteria cells from the extreme heat of pasteurization, where those cells, internal cell contents, the proteins are spilled out all over the place. You've got body parts of cells inside the milk. Well, when you drink that milk, your body doesn't recognize this as a living probiotic food with good bacteria that it becomes friends with and helps colonize in the intestines and so on and so forth. What it recognizes is a bunch of waste it needs to get rid of. So it launches a white blood cell mucus response with histamines and mast cells breaking down and all kinds of things. And then what you got is your body coughing up phlegm. You get ears itching. You get puffiness in your eyes. You get all these inflammatory-type responses because your body is trying to say, hey, let's get the sweepers out. Let's get the janitors out to get the mucus produced to clean up all this garbage you get out of our bodies. That's not what happens with raw milk. You don't have that mucus response with raw milk. So it's a completely different food. And as a result, the dairy industry, bless their hearts, are suffering like crazy because fewer people want to drink the stuff. Raw milk is not available like pasteurized milk. And when doctors say don't drink milk, they're saying don't drink pasteurized milk because it has all these problems with it. And doctors are not educated, most anyway, are not educated about raw milk.
Okay. Well, Shirley in Riverside asks, how does raw milk help to repair joints with degenerative joint disease?
Honestly, I don't know about joint disease. I do know a lot about osteoporosis and osteoarthritis and rheumatoid rheumatoid arthritis. The raw fats found in raw milk are very, very healing in terms of decreasing CRP, the C-reactive protein levels when people drink the right kind of grass-fed fats with high omega-3s, high CLA values, and low 6s, actually have a very low low inflammatory rate as indicated by the CRP. Also, you have to know that the phosphatase enzyme, which is found in very high levels, the third most prevalent enzyme found in raw milk is the phosphatase enzyme. Phosphatase is destroyed entirely. In fact, it's by regulation. The test for pasteurization is called the negative phosphatase test. So when phosphatase is completely destroyed in milk, it's properly pasteurized by standard under the PMO and the FDA. Well, guess what? If you've got osteoporosis, you can't take in and absorb calcium or phosphatase without that phosphatase enzyme present. So we got a real problem with the fact that pasteurization destroys the means by which we can actually absorb and utilize calcium. And we know that by personal testimony and other studies, that there was hearings here in California in front of Senator Dean Flores last year, Senate Bill 201. People brought in their x-rays showing, look at my bone density test. Look at how it's gone up so high after just a year on raw milk. And for years and years and years, taking pharmaceutical drugs and taking pasteurized milk, it was crashing, was going down, down, down. So we know the phosphatase enzyme is our best friend, but yet in the dairy industry, it's destroyed completely.
Well, it just seems like then that particularly as people get up in the years and many would typically have those issues like you were referring to, that drinking raw milk, they might be shocked at what would happen, just like you just related, the bone density going up and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I would.
As people age, their immune systems become weaker. And it's critical that they drink raw milk and have raw milk kefir shakes and things like that. You remember Queen Elizabeth, Queen Mum, she drank, what was she, 102, 103 years old, died with no disease in her body, with a smile on her face? She drank raw milk every day. She had 6 cows in Buckingham Palace. The Russian cosmonauts refused, their doctors won't let them drink raw, pasteurized milk, only raw milk and raw milk kefir, because they wanted to have strong immune systems in space. The story just goes on and on.
Well, I'm wondering about, you know, because there's other dairy things, and of course you just deal with milk, right? I mean, raw milk, not
well, we have butter,
cheese,
butter,
or
cream,
butter.
Cheese.
Oh, you do have all those. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great then. So that's the whole thing, because people may take in dairy in all sorts of other forms, and they think, well, I'm drinking my raw milk, but then they're still getting some of that toxic stuff in other forms. So it's important to have those sources of raw dairy in whatever form you're taking it in. So I'm glad to hear that you cover all those bases.
We do, although I will say in California we are desperately short of milk. Organic pastures only milks about 300 cows in our 500 acres here of pasture, and the problem is that we're out of milk. Literally, consumers have just come and cleaned us out. And even at the price point we're at, we're very successful with a growing company. We're having to buy more cows, and we're getting some investors. And in fact, if anybody wants to invest in Organic Pastures Dairy, this is not a public offering. We actually went through a joint venture kind of arrangement with a cow rescue program in Los Angeles, the Malibu Compost people, that have been raising money so that they could actually rescue cows that are going to go get slaughtered because of organic dairies closing down, and having those cows stay here at our dairy during their production life, and then they get sent off to Malibu Compost pasture-based systems up in Northern California, where they make compost that's sold to environmentally friendly people through the PETA associations and affiliations that they have. And so we're actually raising money right now and actually being able to pay people 10% of their money for any cow that they rescue at $1,800 a piece. So anybody interested in that, they can go to our website or call 1-877-RAW-MILK and make your retirement money work a little bit for you.
Well, you know, it sounds like with the success that you're having and the increasing demand that's just going graphing way up,
yes.
good investment, good thing for people to look at real solid in this time,
yes.
Particularly with people looking for more alternatives than ever.
A quadruple bottom line that's all green. Not only takes care of the consumers, takes care of the cows, takes care of the earth, takes care of the farmer, takes care of the investor. It's everybody wins.
Wonderful. Well, that's great. We have a guest, and looks like it's Leeper, Pennsylvania. I've just unmuted you, guest. Did you have a question?
Yes, I did. This is Alex from Northwest PA. Just a testimony in what you've been saying, Mark, in the last few minutes. I'm running on 60. I have a disability in my lower spine, and I started re-drinking whole milk is a year ago now. And I've been on major narcotics, Vicodin, for the last since 02. For joint and spinal pain, and I do not have it any longer. I've even quit taking the meds for the most part.
That's wonderful news. I'm glad to hear that, my friend. That's awesome.
It's the truth.
You can't make this stuff up. When you provide the body with the elements that it can repair itself with, the body starts doing a good job of repairing itself. And raw milk and other whole foods and fermented foods that are from trusted, you know, organic sources that are not messed with by man, those are the elements that God gave us to repair ourselves, and we just don't have them in our food chain anymore.
It works if you work it.
You got it, buddy. Good job.
Thanks.
All right. So much for that. Appreciate it. And, you know, it just – the whole thing is that you're bringing home is that we've been really shortchanging our bodies and actually sabotaging our own health by making choices that are not very wise and creating a horrible environment for our body to try to thrive and do what it would naturally do, because it's a powerful mechanism. But when we sabotage it, it has a hard time being as powerful as it could be otherwise.
Precisely. Drugs in the United States generally, I'm not going to say something completely, all of them, but most of them are signs and symptoms relievers. They turn off the warning lights and let our engines blow up.
Boy, that's well said. It definitely is. Let's see, we've got a question from, hold on just a second here, Frank in Long Beach again. A good corollary to Ron Paul's in the Fed would be in the FDA. Boy, I like that one. Concur wholeheartedly with your fascism comment. Thank you for emanating enlightenment about your wonderful products and the powers that are attempting to quash your efforts.
Well, thank you so much. And nothing's going to quash my efforts. We have the consumers behind us, the 60,000 people that are totally on fire, passionately. And, you know, every time they try to do something negative to me, all that happens is our consumer base gets excited, buys more milk. And, you know, it's a good thing because anytime they stick me in the ribs, we just get more sales.
That's great. That's the way it should be. Patrick in Michigan, can a transplant patient such as myself who is on a heavy dose of anti-rejection medication drink raw milk?
That is a fascinating question, and I don't know the answer to that. I've done some research on it, and I'd be very leery of a person who has a transplant going on because from what I understand, and I'm not a physician, but I've done a lot of study in this, is that you do not want to have a strong immune system when you have a transplant going on because an immune system will actually reject the organ that you have. So it's a real careful line you have to watch when you have a rejection issue and having a strong immune system. But I just don't know the answer to that because it could very well be that raw milk is wonderful for a transplant patient, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to have a hypersensitive immune system that will reject your organ. So I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay, that's fair enough. Brian in Minneapolis, Minnesota, having come in late, I may have missed it, but where do you get raw milk? Well, they can listen to the recording, but I don't. If you want to just kind of encapsulate it for them.
This gentleman's calling from Michigan, is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Michigan, it's a pretty
or
tough
Minnesota.
State. They're going through a battle right now in terms of legislation, and they're battling over this. I will say my hat is off to Michigan. They have something called the Michigan Working Group, and that working group is a consortium of regulators, university researchers, doctors, a bunch of people together, government people, raw milk producers, raw milk consumers, and they've done a great job of actually bringing the science forward under the Michigan Working Group website. And you can go to our website, organicpastures.com, and click on it under the news area and see what's going on in Michigan. But Michigan is a pretty tough place to get raw milk.
Okay. We have – actually, that person, the previous question was from Michigan. This person's from Minnesota. Anything going on there that you know of?
I don't. I'm not really familiar with a lot of Minnesota. I was just there a little while ago to do a presentation. But, again, pretty tough to find raw milk there.
Okay.
I would say people should go to the realmilk.com. That's real, R-E-A-L, milk.com website. And it shows chapter by chapter across the United States and internationally where raw milk can be found, or you can get linkages to people that can tell you where to find it.
Okay, great. We have Frank in Long Beach. My grandmother had one cow that abundantly produced milk from which she made butter, cottage cheese, whipped cream, and, of course, raw milk. She was rarely sick beyond the occasional seasonal sniffle and enjoyed a healthy life of 93 years before passing in her sleep of natural age-related causes.
Amen.
Okay. What can you say to that? Yeah.
Well, that kind of experience doesn't support the 18% of the GMP on the sick care program, does it?
No, it doesn't. We've got Rob, he just says California. I'm a new believer, tried my first raw milk last week and just picked up two more replacement bottles today. I'm 65 this year and an all-natural bodybuilder all my life. I love the taste and my body likes it too. No more mucus or lactose intolerance for me. Looking forward to positive results. Rob Pultz in Palo Alto, California. Can I call you to learn more about other raw milk products? I came in late to the webinar picking up my milk resupply. could you give out your contact information again? And if there is a phone number, people can call, you know, that type of thing too.
1-877 raw milk will get you get you right into me. And I take calls from consumers all the time. Organicpastures.com, we have a bunch of links resource links. The Weston A. Price, Weston, WestonAPrice.org organization is a fantastic link to the nutritional information we have here, and they have hot links to go to. If you wanted to email me at Mark, it's M-A-R-K, at OrganicPastures.com, I could send you a whole resource link list of all the science behind raw milk. And literally, I have 80 different websites you could go to that shows the hard science around the world and here in the United States about raw milk and what's found in raw milk naturally and how it heals, prevents disease, and cures. And everything I'm saying here today is done under First Amendment rights. And I'm not selling anything to anybody. I'm just trying to open up educational channels so people can make conscious decisions and not be a rat jumping off the FDA cliff.
There you go. That's that is absolutely good information. It really is. You know, I know we're close to the hour point here, and you've really, you know, you've moved through a lot of material, a lot of information very quickly. And you've made it so clear. I'm just going to say that people should definitely consider coming and meeting Mark at Freedom Law School's 2010 Take Back America Health and Freedom Conference coming up March 12th through 15th. And he's going to be there, and there's going to be a number of other presenters, really stimulating information. It's quite an experience to be part of that. It's going to be held at the Ontario Hilton Hotel. And for information on that, go to freedomlawconference.com, and you can find the information there, and you can also register for it. And as I had mentioned earlier, there's no charge for the conference. Donations are appreciated. And with that, Mark, I would say I'm just going to make another announcement or two, and then if there's a final comment or thought you'd like to leave us with in just a moment, that will be a good time to do that. I want to say that the replay of this webinar that we're having today, as well as past webinars, will be found at republicmagazine.com/webinar. And we invite you to share the information with others by sending it out to them. You'll find that you can download the replays of the webinars to your desktop if you like. You can share them with others, or you can listen at your leisure. And there's quite an education there because we have pages of webinars from the past on every type of thing imaginable. And we want you to consider joining us tomorrow. And we're going to have John Rappaport. He was very popular once before. We had him, I think, probably a couple of months ago. And he's going to be addressing some things that are going to kind of touch in with what we were talking about today. Because his topic is the deepest, darkest secrets of medical fraud. And certainly you'll find FDA talk in there, corporate talk, lobbying, all of the fraud that goes on, the different things, the machinations that go on to distort the truth and affect our health greatly and the knowledge thereof. So,
Earl, I have to check out. I've got another it's actually a webinar I've got to go to right now, so I got to go.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we'll see you at the conference.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, certainly enjoyed Mark today, and we appreciate you joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, and have a great day, and this officially ends our webinar.
The moderator has left the conference.